Hello, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. Hey, buddy. There's a lot going on. I hope you can keep track of all this on the back of the bulletins. We have some thank yous for all those with the Hill Middle School Ministry. That was very successful and very much appreciated by the school. Thank you to those of you who played a part in ministering to them in that way. Isabel Howell also would like to thank everyone for the cards she received. We are welcoming a new member today. Is there anyone here who doesn't know Hannah Regeer? This is sort of unique because she's been here longer than a lot of us, but she is a new member, and after the service, she'll be back in the foyer. Please make sure to shake her hand and let her know that she's welcome and appreciated and loved. Next Sunday is going to be a graduation Sunday. We're recognizing some of our graduates. I hope you can be here for that. And then also the missionaries Joy and Leela George from India are going to be visiting. They're going to do the ABF Sunday school hour from 9:30 to 10:30. And then they'll probably say a few words during the service as well. And then after that, they're having a potluck, which should interest a lot of people here, I think. Also, we sent the word out, and it's even in the bulletin, that we wouldn't be doing the Lord's Supper today because we didn't have the little cups, but they came in last night. So we will make sure you get one before we observe that today. And then also every Sunday I get the handout along with everyone else. And usually the first thing I look at is a little chart at the bottom. And I would just love to see those bar graphs touching that top line. I keep praying for that we can meet that goal for our church. And I would encourage each of you to pray for that as well. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for this day. We thank you for how good you are to us. Help us as a church to share that goodness with others. Help us as individuals to be there for each other. Help us as Christians to be a blessing to you, Lord. Please guide us as we worship you. We pray for every aspect of the service, every detail, the sound system, the speakers, the musicians. Help this be a time to honor you. And thank you for this special time as well as we honor the mothers, those who gave life to us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Don. Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. So that's always the trigger for those of us sons to remember to call our mothers later today. Yeah, so if you need that reminder, make sure you do that. Call your mother later today and tell her she was a great mother. On your way in, many of you received a book. Many of the ladies received a book, and we are handing those out to all of the ladies this morning in honor of Mother's Day. And what this is a 365-day devotional written by women for women. And so it's really designed for women and just their spiritual growth and their development in their intimacy with God through intimacy with God. So these books were given to all the ladies. If you didn't get one on your way in, there'll be some located at the door on your way out. But the idea behind this is what we're hoping to do with this is then just to give the women an opportunity to have devotionals working together as a group for the next roughly 365 days on the same thing, kind of an idea. So I hope you enjoy that. And that's just, like I said, in honor of Mother's Day. So we're certainly glad that all of you are here. Hope that you have a good, wonderful service.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you guys here on this dreary, rainy morning. Let's lift the spirits a little bit with some worship. Why don't y'all stand with me?
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
All right, at this moment, go ahead and find a mother and just thank for everything that they've done. Say, we really appreciate you.
Everybody, we are going to continue worship service together with a little scripture reading before we move into the rest of the set. So if you could find your seats, thank you.
Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 115, 1 through 11 in the New International Reader's Version. And if you can, remain standing with me. Lord, may glory be given to you, not to us. You are loving and faithful. Why do the nations ask, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does anything he wants to do. But the statues of their gods are made out of silver and gold. They are made by human hands. They have mouths, but can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. They have throats, but they can't say anything. Those who make statues of gods will be like them. So, with all those who trust in those gods, they will be like them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He helps you like a shield that keeps you safe. Priests of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He helps you like a shield that keeps you safe. You who have respect for the Lord, trust in him. He helps you like a shield that keeps you safe. You may be seated.
And now I'm going to ask you to please stand again. Thank you. Nothing wrong with a little workout, yeah?
Get the blood pumping.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
My mother's womb, form me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and the potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. It's for your name. There's a healing light. It's just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and the potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your
back and focus on verse 1 for a second. The song is just proclaiming a truth that sometimes we know to be true, but I think we forget this. I just want us to sing this one more time.
In my mother's womb, you formed me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you have a specific purpose and plan for our life. From the moment of conception, Lord, even before that, you know exactly what your plans are for us. From the moment we're conceived, from the womb, Lord, you have loved us. I hope that we would remember that, Lord, and I hope that you would bless the mothers that birthed us, that carried us into this world. And I pray on this Mother's Day, Lord, that we would turn to them and we would honor them. Lord, and thank you so much for the mothers that have been faithful in raising up the next generation of people that follow you, trust you, and believe in you. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to receive anything you have for us this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Redeemer. You know what this means, right? Do you guys not know what this means? You haven't figured that out? How many times have I been preaching in front of you? You guys don't know what that means? That means I don't have my sermon quite memorized. Just so you know. Alex is feeling a smidgen under the weather this morning. And so he said, hey, I'm going to come in because I don't want to leave you high and dry. And I appreciate that he didn't leave me high and dry. So he took off and probably headed right to bed. So just to let you know what's going on. So good morning. If you are visiting with us, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us. If you are connecting with us online, Boker Tov. And it is wonderful to have you here on this kind of rainy, I don't know, it's not really cold, it's kind of muggy, crummy weather day, but we're inside and it's nice and it's a little cold, a little bit cool today. We had a little trouble with the air conditioning this past week, so we had two options, off or on. and we chose on. So, sorry, you just kind of bundle up, sit next to the person that's next to you, cuddle up with them a little bit, I don't know. So we're just trying to make it work this morning as best as we can. So there's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that are going on here at Redeemer. There's just a lot of things that are going on. Last week, Sunday, which is probably not something that you would have noticed, but I certainly did, and and I'll tell you why I was so aware of it. But last week, Sunday, was a morning of a number of many miracles. There were a number of things that happened last Sunday morning that were beyond human description. I've told you before, it's interesting for me because I know all of you, but you don't, you know, you guys, a lot of you don't know what's going on in each other's lives, and you're starting, you know, you, some of you know, but you don't know it all. But I get that one view where I see everybody, and it was incredible last week to see how God was working in the lives of people last week. It was incredible for me. And you may not have seen it, but you may not have known to look for it. I, on the other hand, did. In the morning, before the service, I was, you know, spending my quiet time, and the Lord let me know, you know, Forrest, you're going to need to trust me this morning. And I hate hearing that, because I know what that means. And so I'm like, okay. And he said, it wasn't an audible voice, it was just this sense, you might as well walk into the church and close your eyes, because nothing's going to make any sense to you. And sure enough, as soon as I walked in, situation after situation after situation after situation, where I needed to trust the Lord. And because I was looking for that, because I kind of knew what it was, by the end of the service, all of a sudden, things changed. It was incredible for me, and I can't really tell you all of the different stories, and it's so hard to explain, I know, because I'm explaining something that I can't tell you. But I'm telling you that by the end of the service, I was like, God was here. Something happened. And it was, to me, I walked out of the service so encouraged because I was convinced that sometimes the way that I see things, sometimes the way that I hear things, sometimes the way that I think about how things are going to go, they don't always go that way. Sometimes God breaks through and does a miracle. And that's what happened last week. And I'm as confident of that as I ever was after last week. Miracles are something that we're captivated by. When we see a miracle, when we experience a miracle, when we hear about a miracle, we're captivated by it. If something is just cause and effect, or something is kind of the logical progression of things, or if something is just kind of what we expect, it doesn't get our attention. If something happens and we're like, yeah, I saw that coming, or yeah, I expected that, or, yeah, that seems normal. That seems like what I would expect. It doesn't catch our attention. We're like, yeah, okay, sure. That makes sense. I was expecting that. But when something happens that's unexpected, when something happens that's unexplainable, when something happens that's spectacular, it fascinates us. We'll oftentimes find ourselves unable to take our eyes off the thing that we're looking at because we're like, I can't believe that just happened. Miracles fascinate us. I just want to pose a question to you this morning. Do you believe God does miracles? Do you believe God really does miracles? Well, we're in church. I've heard lots of stories. I know God does. Of course I believe God does miracles. Okay, now let's put all that aside for a second, and I want you to ask yourself, do you believe God does miracles? And the reason that question is so important is because you'll never understand the way that God functions if you don't believe that he can do miracles. We are in the midst of a series here in the book of Romans, and what we've been talking about the past 2 weeks and what we're talking about this week is the concept of faith first. And as I was studying it through this week, I realized that if a person doesn't really truly believe that God does miracles, they can never understand faith first. You can't understand it. Because the whole process from start to finish is an absolute miracle. It's a miracle. And if you're hearing for the first time this concept of faith first, don't worry, I'm gonna unpack it as we look at this chapter in the book of Romans. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, which is where we're going to be. We're doing a mini-series right now, Modern Theology Through Romans. And we're going to be in chapter 4 today. And we're talking about this process of how does God take a sinful person who has done wicked things, maybe not doing wicked things at the moment, but how does he take that person who has done wicked things, how does he take that evil person and make them right with a holy God? And we're looking at the life of Abraham, and we're seeing how Abraham, from his experience, what he did, and we're seeing how that then plays out in our lives as well. So how does God take an evil person and make them right with himself? And what we've talked about in the last 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about this morning, he does it faith first. It has to be done. That's his way he does it. It has to be done faith first. But as we looked at this today, as I looked at this week, I'm like, you can't understand that if you don't believe God does miracles. Because the whole concept of faith first is completely miraculous. What we're going to see this morning is that faith first is God miraculously fabricating. Faith first is God creating something that doesn't exist. And then faith first is God miraculously flipping. He flips something that isn't and turns it into something that it is. And the last thing is that God miraculously fulfills his promise. Miraculously, he fulfills his promise. Do you believe that God does miracles? Look with me at Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. Faith first requires believing that God does miracles. It requires believing that God does miracles. Faith first is God miraculously fabricating. Verse 16 says this, "So the promise is received by faith, and it is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe." Verse 17, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Verse 16 says, so the promise, and the promise that's being talked about here is the promise that God has made to humanity that if they will believe, then God will make them righteous in his sight. And that's the promise. And he says, so this promise is received by faith. It's received. It's not something that a person does where they do a bunch of good things. They do enough good things and God says, okay, you're righteous. It's not like that. It's received, that God looks at them and sees them as righteous, but he does that because they've received it, not because they've done anything to earn it. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it. That's the indication there, is that this promise is certain. This promise will be carried out. God will fulfill this. It's certain. They're certain to receive it, whether or not we believe according to the law of Moses. So whether or not a person obeys the law or doesn't obey the law, Either way, they will receive it because of the promise. And the idea here is just highlighting the element is it's not based upon what the person does. The promise is fulfilled because God has promised to give it to them. Verse 17 says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. This process where Abraham believed, and this process where God looked down at him and said, you are righteous, it happened because Abraham believed God is the God who takes dead things and makes them alive. And in the context here, it's talking about Abraham's body and Sarah's body. They were too old. Their bodies were dead. They weren't physically dead, but their reproductive ability was dead. And as the story goes on, it says God promised to Abraham, who had a dead reproductive body, and he promised to Sarah, who had a dead reproductive body, that they would have a child. And so God's promise is taking something that's dead and turning it back into life. And then the last part of the verse says it is the God who creates new things out of nothing. God who takes something that isn't there and he puts something there. He creates. And ultimately, the issue is if we are going to ever wrap our minds around the concept of faith first, we have to believe in a miracle. We have to. Because God is miraculously doing something that is not there. On a really hot day, I'll come in from a run or come in from running around, and I want the miraculous beverage Gatorade. It's miraculous. Because what I do is I take a cup of cold water and I pour in this orange stuff and it turns into Gatorade and it miraculously quenches my thirst. No, it's not a miracle. It's a mix. You're mixing one thing and another thing and you put them together and it turns into Gatorade and it quenches your thirst. That's a mix. That's not a miracle. And we often kind of think that that's kind of the idea, what God is doing here. And we think that God takes us and he pours a little bit of Jesus into us and then we're righteous. That is not what this passage is saying in any way, shape, or form. What this verse and what the whole Bible is talking about, when God makes someone righteous, he looks at them and says, you are not righteous, but because you believe, I consider you righteous. He's making something that isn't there. It's a miracle. He's creating, he's fabricating something that isn't there. And in order for us to begin to move ourselves past the way we understand how a person is right, made right with God, we've got to start thinking that faith first is God fabricating righteousness. God is calling someone righteous who is not. God is calling someone, he looks at them and he says, you are righteous, even though that isn't anything that's reflective in how you're living your life. Faith first is not adding a little Jesus to our water. Faith first is fabricating something that wasn't there. Do you believe that God does Second thing that we see here is faith first is God miraculously flipping. God is miraculously flipping. He's doing something completely different. Look with me at verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Even when there was no reason to hope, and so The author here is bringing us back to the story of Abraham, and he's saying, look at Abraham. He had no reason, there was no human reason for him to hope that God would fulfill this promise. No human reason. Abraham still kept hoping. He chose to hope. And his faith grew stronger. Even though he's getting older, and as he gets older, and he's got older and older, instead of his faith going down or being less, his faith grew stronger in the midst of that. And in doing this, it brought glory to God. This was for God's glory. Last part of 18. For God believed, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And so recalling back the time period where God took Abraham outside and he showed him the stars in the sky. And he says, that's how many descendants you will have. And it's so important to remember at this time, Abraham was an old man, his wife was an old lady. And the thought of hearing that he would have a bunch of descendants was completely and utterly unbelievable. It didn't make any sense, humanly speaking. It wouldn't have made any sense. But yet, Abraham believed. Verse 19, and Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. If you look at the context of the situation, and you look at what's going on, Abraham, his body is dead in terms of reproductive capacity. His wife's body is dead in terms of reproductive capacity. But God says, you will have a child. And God flips the story. God flips what's going on. And he says, I'm going to do a miracle. And the reason it's so important that we have to embrace and understand the concept of miracle is because our brains can't process the impossible. If I were to tell you, hey, here's a 250-piece puzzle. Go ahead and put it together. No problem. I know what to do. Find the corners, find the edges, and then you fill in the middle, right? If I told you there was a dump truck out in the parking lot filled with pieces that were all part of one puzzle, go do it. Be like, no, it's impossible, right? Where would you start? Your brain doesn't know what to do with the impossible. It can't function. 250-piece puzzle, not a problem. I know what to do. I can figure it out. I can process that. A dump truck full of puzzle pieces, can't process it. It moves from the hard to the impossible. And when the task moves to impossible, our brains can't process it. Where would you start on a puzzle for a dump truck full of puzzle pieces? Where would you start? Well, you might want to start in the corner pieces, but do you know how long it would take you to get all the way through the dump truck to find four corner pieces? Your brain knows that. It's like, forget it. It's impossible. And the same thing is true with the concept of faith first. If we don't understand that it's a miracle, if we don't understand the power of the miracle, then we're like, it can't happen. It's impossible. It doesn't make sense. And our brain can't process it. Faith first is God miraculously flipping things around. Faith first is God miraculously taking a man who is old and his wife who is old and turning them into a mom and a dad, flipping the story. And it's important for us that we have to feel that faith first is a miracle. Because if we don't associate it that way, then we won't switch it from impossible to possible in our mind. Faith first is not a manageable number of pieces that we can connect. It's not. Faith first is God flipping the impossible to possible so that we can process it. Do you believe that God does miracles? Faith first is God miraculously fulfilling. Faith first is God miraculously fulfilling his promises. Faith first requires believing that God does miracles. We've got to believe that or we won't understand it. Look at verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Verse 20 starts off, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. You know the story of Abraham. You know that when he first heard about it, he didn't believe. He doubted it at first. But once Abraham believed, then he never doubted. He said he never doubted. He didn't waver in believing God's promise to him. In fact, his faith grew stronger. His dependence, his understanding that God would do what he said he was going to do, it grew stronger. Which to us is paradoxical. It's like, as God didn't fulfill it, as time went on and he got older, you would think that his faith would begin to weaken. Like, you would think that his belief and his conviction would get less because more time had passed. He's older. Sarah is older. You'd think, oh man, God's never going to do this. But in Abraham's situation, that's not what happened. His faith grew stronger. There's probably a reason behind that, but we'll save that for another time. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Verse 21, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. He had to have that conviction. He had to have that orientation. He had to understand that miracle was possible. Or he would have never believed, but he believed that God could do miracles, and so he believed that God could keep his promise. Verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Because Abraham believed, God looked at him and said, you are righteous. Verse 23, and when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded, verse 24, for our benefit too. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. That is the way that God dealt with Abraham, and that is the way that God deals with us. He looks at us, and he tells us what his promise is, that he will make us righteous in his sight when we believe. And the response that we have to do is just believe. Verse 23 says, and when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Just as Jesus was dead, God raised him back to life. Just as Abraham and Sarah's reproductive capacity was dead, God raised it back to life. And just as you and I, if we are in our sin, we are dead in terms of a relationship with God. And he, Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. And if we then believe that by faith, God looks at us as righteous, and now we have the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God. Because God is the God who fulfills his promise. The trick is we have to understand that that's miraculous. And if we don't believe that miracles happen, we can't embrace that that's what God has promised to us. We can't, because we're too focused on not seeing how that's possible. And I understand, and you've probably had this experience, that oftentimes we are surrounded by people and things that just don't keep their promise. We're surrounded by that. Earlier this week, I called Ford and I said, "Hey, I need an oil change and I need you to check my brakes." "Not a problem, we can do that. Here's your appointment time, come on in." I came on in, saw the advisor. "What are you here for?" "Here for an oil change, check my brakes." "Can't check your brakes." "What do you mean you can't check my brakes?" "Well, you need to leave the car here all day if we're going to check your brakes." "Well, the lady on the phone said I could get my brakes checked." "Well, she's down in Houston. She doesn't know anything about how we do things around here. Sorry, we can't do that." And I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was kind of worried about it. So I asked her specifically on the phone, "Are you sure that you can do both of these? Because I really don't want to make two trips to the dealer." She says, "No problem. It won't be a problem." When I get there, it was a problem. That's kind of what we're used to in the world we live in. People just tell us whatever they think we want to hear. But people do that. God doesn't do that. When God says, "This is what I'm going to do," this is what he's going to do. And if he needs to, he will do a miracle. Because he's concerned about fulfilling his promise. Faith first is God miraculously fulfilling his promises. The challenge for us is to live like God will do what he said. That's the challenge for us. That's the difficult thing, because we're used to, we're understanding this concept where if I do good, then God will be happy with me and things will go well. And if I do bad, God will not be happy with me and things will go bad. And so we're kind of used to that. We can understand that. Our mind thinks that that's possible. But the concept of faith first is an impossibility for our brain. It turns it off. It says that can't be true. It can't possibly be true. And the only way it's true is if we understand that God does miracles. The challenge for us is to live like God will do what he said. Not live and say, "Okay, well, if God does, that'd be great." Not say that I'm believing that God is going to do this, but if he doesn't, it's not a big deal because I'm not depending upon it. It's living in such a way that I completely understand and I'm trusting that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Faith first is God miraculously fulfilling his promises. Do you believe that God does miracles? The reality is that you have to, or you'll never live faith first. If you don't believe that God can, you won't ever believe that he will. And so it's critical for us, if we're going to understand and embrace the concept of being faith first, is we have to believe that God does miracles. As we've looked at this section here in Romans, we've seen that if you don't believe God, or faith first is God miraculously fabricating. He's fabricating something that wasn't there before. Faith first is God miraculously flipping. He's taking something that's dead and making it alive. He's taking something that's not and making it as though it is. And faith first is God miraculously fulfilling his promises. If you don't believe God does miracles, then you can't or most likely won't ever believe faith first. Last Sunday for me was a day of miracles. It was a day when I saw a lot of things that God was doing, and I saw what was going on, and it was very cool to see. It was fun to see. It was something that was so, it captivated my attention because I saw how God was moving in the lives of people. And so it's easy for me to believe that I have to be faith first, because I know I've seen God working that way in people's lives. I've seen it. I understand it. I don't have any trouble associating that. It's easy for me to believe that. But the reality is, for many of us, that's a little harder thing to believe. We see the people around us who look pretty much the same week after week, mostly because we don't know what's really going on in our lives. But we see our own situation, and probably like the frog in the kettle, things don't change that much. They do, but it doesn't seem that way to us. We don't feel like things are really going on. And so we get this orientation that we have this perception that God can do miracles, but he's not interested really in doing anything in my life. It's easy to fall into that. It's easy to think that that's true. That's not how God functions. He doesn't do everything that we want him to do. He's not a vending machine. We say, hey, God, I need a miracle today. Would you do it? That's not how God works. But God is very interested in working in our lives. He is very interested in turning things around, especially when we're willing to come to him faith first. Do you believe that God does miracles? Are you ready to live faith first? Maybe for some of you, it'll be the first time in your whole life where you've really understood that it's not about being good enough to earn God's favor. It's about believing that he is a God who keeps his promise. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a few moments? I just want to give you a few minutes here just to spend some time in prayer to God and talk to him about where you're at in this process of living faith first. Maybe for some of you, this would be the first time that you've really embraced the concept of living faith first. Maybe for some of you, you started out working that way and then you kind of drifted back into feeling like you needed to do things, good things, to make God happy. Maybe for some of you, you just need a do-over. You need to start over. You start living faith first. Let's give you just a few moments in the quietness of this time to think about that and pray to God about what you need to do, want to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would give us the courage to live faith first. Help us to change our understanding of who you are, if that needs to happen. Help us to see ourselves more clearly, if that needs to happen. And help us to understand how you function day to day, looking for a man, looking for a woman who will believe faith first. Love you, and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. If you haven't gotten one of these little disposable communion cups, just go ahead and raise your hand. We've got some individuals in the back that will let you know that they're here. I know we kind of told you in advance we weren't going to be able to do this, and then at the last minute it worked, came together so we could. So this is a time for us to remember what Christ did on the cross, where he allowed himself to be beaten and mocked and crucified in order that to bring himself into a position where then he would allow humans to kill him. But in so doing, he took on himself the penalty for our sin. This is the reason why faith first works, is because of what Christ did. This is the reason why we can be in an intimate relationship with God, because it's what Christ did, it's not what we did, because Christ did all the heavy lifting for us. And so what the Lord's Supper, what this time is an opportunity for us then to reflect back on the moment when Christ did that for us. You take off that top section and reveal the wafer. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. When he had broken it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," referring to his blood that he soon would spill on the cross. "So this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And he closed out that time. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. An opportunity for us to remember what Christ did for us on the cross so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. For the closing benediction, "Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." See you next week.